AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show, Friday, the 22nd of May. We are here. You know, what it was is I was making brats on the back grill. Because then, let's face it, Ian, that we're on Bryant Lake here. The Palatial Broadcasting Complex of AM 950 is here on Bryant Lake. It's Memorial Day weekend. Brett and I were out enjoying charbroiled meats. And then we got a call from owner of the station saying, "What the hell?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, we got to do a show, don't we?"
A little cloudy, but we'll take it anyway. We were planning on this.
We had the wind with us. It was nice. And those marsh flowers, everything coming in nicely. So, sorry to be a buzzkill and come off our early Memorial Day vacation plans. But, hey, we got a lot of things to get to today in a very short period of time. So, let's hit it. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. A quick shout-out to Reed Perkins, Democrat of the Day. He was going to be Democrat of the Day today. He's District 1, Senate District 1 in the very northwestern part of the state. He will join us on Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day weekend, and join us for that. I was going to start with this anyway, because this is a big one. While most major festivals had already canceled for 2020, many Minnesotans held on to a small glimmer of hope that the Great Minnesota Get-Together would still take place. On Friday morning, that glimmer of hope was put down. God, City Pages was kind of cold. Oh, this isn't a difficult decision, said State Fair General Manager Jerry Hammer of his official statement. It's the only decision. The conclusion to stop the Minnesota State Fair was reached following a meeting with the managers of the Minnesota State Agricultural Society, which governs the Minnesota State Fair. By the end, they decided that the health risks and the challenges of keeping fairgoers safe this summer would be too much. In a normal year, preparing for an event of this scale and scope, the Minnesota State Fair is a year-round operation and a mammoth undertaking. In the midst of a global pandemic, it is impossible. So it looks like we'll have to wait a year to dine in fried cheese and delights on a stick. We're grateful for the understanding and support everyone has made of the State Fair possible, especially the millions of fans from around the globe, Hammer says. Yeah. And by the way, I should mention, Stein pointed this out. Minnesota's canceled theirs. Iowa's is 2 weeks before ours. They haven't canceled theirs yet. They're still going to try to put theirs on. That's at least the idea.
They like to fashion that they have the biggest one in the country.
Yeah, not even close.
Yeah. But they're still going. Wow.
Oh, yes. The Minnesota State Fair began. And it's not bad. The Iowa State Fair, I've been there. I broadcast from there a few times. It's not bad. It's just – it's much more aggy. You know, they've got really a lot of ag stuff. And if you want to connect to the agriculture, go to the Iowa State Fair. It's actually good fun. And their pork chops are delicious. But it's – you know, Minnesota State Fair kind of is, you know, the major leagues versus double A ball. Let's just put it that way. I'm just going to be honest. Minnesota State Fair began in 1859, 1 year after Minnesota became a state. That would be technically 2 years before the Civil War. Dear Lord. This year's cancellation is just the sixth time in fair history they've canceled the fair. Since its inception, the fair is held every year for five exceptions. The fair's website reads, in 1861 and 1862 due to the Civil War and the U.S. Dakota War, in 1893 because of rescheduling conflicts with the World's Columbian Exposition in Chicago, in 1945 due to the federal government travel restrictions during World War II, and in 1946 due to a polio epidemic. We asked yesterday whether you'd even attend the 2020 fair. The poll results overwhelmingly said not a chance. The 2021 Great Minnesota Get-Together, now dubbed Great Minnesota Get Back Together, has been scheduled for August 26th through Labor Day, September 6th, 2021. That's a hard one, kids. That's a kidney punch right there. That's a kidney punch. We're dropping you. But how are you going to have this? And let me carry this into churches, because right now Trump is basically trying to rally his base by saying, I'm going to demand everybody go to church now. All churches open, everything. And I'm like, Jesus, dude, you can't do it legally. Aaron Rupar at Vox has actually a pretty good story about, you know, legally you can't force states to open up churches. But that being said, I want to read this story from Fox News. Where is it? Let's see here. I have it here. Pardon me while I shuffle my briefs. Here it is. As Catholic churches in Minnesota pushed to reopen early in defiance of the governor's order, some parishioners and a priest at a Wright County church have all tested positive for COVID-19. The Church of St. Timothy in Maple Lake and St. Ignatius Catholic Church in Annandale share clergy, as the two churches are less than 10 miles away from each other. According to a Facebook post shared Wednesday on both parishes' webpage, some parishioners at St. Ignatius who have been in contact with the priest have tested positive with the virus. Since then, the priest has also tested positive. Other clergy members are showing symptoms but are still awaiting test results. They've got it. And I guarantee you, there are freaking morons out there. The Church of St. Timothy in Maple Lake and St. Ignatius Catholic Church in Annandale who are saying, it doesn't matter, let us have our church services. What are you going to do in 2 months when you open these churches up and you start having services? And like I said yesterday, the last service we went to at my church, and I love my church, I want to go back to my church. The last service you had, the priest said, don't hold hands. What happens? We get to the prayer. This woman next to me, elderly woman, grabs my hand and does not let go. Oh, coronavirus. Yeah, we are, aren't we? Yeah. Let go. You know, there are just too many zealots who think that, you know, well, even though we have the knowledge of how this is passed on to people, we're still going to get into very close quarters, hold hands, and act like nothing bad's happened. What are you people going to do in 2 months when half your priests are dead and half your parish is sick? Are you going to say, boy, that was a mistake, we shouldn't have opened up these churches? Or are you going to say, you liberals, I bet you're happy? No, no one is happy. The liberals are the ones who are trying to save as many human beings' lives as possible. You reckless fools are the ones who are out there trying your hardest to get everyone sick, thinking that somehow this is going to end out like good. My God. I get it. And there are already people posting online saying, I don't know, there's a candy store in Jordan that's got 50 gazillion people in it every single hour, but they're not going to let us have the state fair. Please. Please. Lies don't help. The reason I'm angry is because the state fair is such gold. It is one of my favorite things that happens all year long. It really is. And that one hurt. But I wasn't some delusional fool who back and said, when Trump said, well, the coronavirus is mysteriously going to disappear and all the churches are going to be reopened by Easter. I said, there's no way in the hell that's going to happen if you just looked at the numbers. I knew the state fair was unlikely going to happen. I also know colleges and schools starting back up in fall will be a real big reach. But I am not on some sort of suicide run here just because I want a Pronto Pop. And if I get coronavirus, I've got to sue someone, even though I'm demanding that they should open it up. The liberals, the Democrats, the progressives, we're the ones who are saying, no, the greatest generation should not be sacrificed. No, grandma and grandpa should not be sent out in a boat, burning boat into the middle of the lake. That we should not have massive casualties due to coronavirus, that we can prevent it. We should do our best to stop it. The other side is of, get out there and get me my chalupa. This is the right decision. Doesn't mean we're not about to hear 3 freaking months of belly aching about it. It doesn't make it any easier. I'm frustrated like the next person, but the reality is I've got a brain in my noggin, and it tells me it was the right thing to do. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Minnesota Update when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You can't go through a day without hearing about healthcare reform. St. Paul Corner Drug is here to help you navigate the ever-changing healthcare landscape. We are your advocate in getting much-needed prescription medication covered under your insurance plan. Need to choose a different plan? There is no reason to feel like you are drowning in the system. St. Paul Corner Drug can make simple work out of finding you a plan that best suits your needs. You can rest assured at St. Paul Corner Drug, pharmacy the way it should be.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
At Rudy Luther Toyota, the health and safety of their customers and employees is the top priority. They continue to take extreme precautions to keep everyone safe. Like many businesses in Minnesota, Rudy Luther Toyota is starting to move forward. They have a huge selection of new and certified used Toyotas, and Toyota has announced 0% APR financing for up to 60 months for qualified buyers on several of their most popular models, like my favorite, the new RAV4. You can even take up to 90 days to make your first payment. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis, and online at rudyluther.com.
Hi, this is Chad Hobart with Social Media MN. If you're running for office or a grassroots ballot initiative, getting out door-to-door made a lot of sense before coronavirus. Progressive candidates historically win elections with one-to-one voter contact, door-knocking, and by organizing. With coronavirus, candidates and ballot initiatives need to pivot and recalibrate with a digital marketing strategy to provide one-to-one voter contact and organizing opportunities. An effective digital strategy will likely determine if your race goes blue this year or whether you're singing the blues. So, if you want to be singing Hail to the Chief on Election Day, Social Media MN can help. For a hassle-free consultation, contact us today at 763-244-4058. That's 763-244-4058. Or visit us online at socialmediamn.com. That's socialmediamn.com.
Well, usually we do a weather at this point. I'll tell you, rain. I know. But we've had some good weather here lately. Chance of storms tomorrow, 50% chance. Chance of storms likely on Sunday. Chance of storms on Memorial Day Monday. So, and it does sound like, especially on Sunday and Monday, your better chances in the afternoon. So if it looks clear on Sunday morning or Monday morning, get out there and enjoy it. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The Minnesota update for today. First of all, COVID-19 patients requiring critical care is increasing in Minnesota. And combining with patients of other medical needs to use the up intensive care beds in the Twin Cities, the Minnesota Department of Health on Friday reported 534 COVID-19 cases in hospitals, a decline of 32 compared to Thursday, but a record 233 of those patients needed intensive care. We are tight, said John Hick, a Hennepin healthcare physician who is leading the coordination of hospitals in the pandemic response. Resuming elective surgeries plus an uptick in ICU cases had constricted things pretty quickly. The health department on Friday also reported 33 more deaths, 25 in long-term care, and one in a residential behavior health group home from the respiratory disease. Infections confirmed by diagnostic testing increased by 813 on Friday to 19,005 overall. The state's pandemic preparedness website as of Friday indicated that 1,045 of 1,257 available ICU beds were occupied by patients with COVID-19 and other related conditions, and then another 1,093 beds could be readied in 72 hours. So I want to make sure we understand, because this is the number that's the most important, the ICU beds. We're starting to get close to, we are within pretty close to about 200 beds away from using our base ICU bed capacity. We do have the capacity, thanks to the Army Corps of Engineers, University of Minnesota, Mayo Clinic, Governor Walz, and frankly, some Republicans who stepped up there and did some good bipartisan stuff here. We do have the capability of 72 hours having more beds ready. Keep an eye on that number. Keep an eye on that number. And once again, this is the reason why people are like, why can't we have these medical surgeries and procedures done? Well, because they go wrong, and guess what happens? You have to use an intensive care bed, or you're automatically using one. And on top of this, we have another county now that's a hotbed. The New York Times has been keeping on top of day-to-day coronavirus stats, has put together a few charts in attempt to forecast where the next hotspots might be. Already problem spots in both Nobles and Stearns County, the state's densely populated urban center, is always experiencing a high rate of case. But now we're looking at Faribault Northfield. On Wednesday, it was the top of the Times list of highest average daily rate of cases. In the previous 2 weeks, the mini region on Rice County had racked up 236 new cases, an average daily growth rate of 13%. That meant the number of positive cases was doubling roughly every 6 days. Faribault Northfield is followed in places in North Carolina, other places in the country. Thursday afternoon, Faribault Northfield's growth has measured at 8%, second place on the Times list behind North Wilkesboro County in North Carolina. Wednesday, Rice County Public Health reported 295 lab-confirmed cases of the virus. The oldest patient at 89 years old and the youngest at 5 months. This number bumped up to 308 on Thursday afternoon. Only 12 have required hospitalization, though. You sit and you say, well, we've been inside for 2 months. It's gone. No, it's not. You sit and say, we're rural. We're not the metro core. It doesn't matter. That is probably the greatest myth of the whole thing. That is probably the greatest myth of the whole thing. You hear that, and Trump says, not bad, I'm drinking bleach. Hydroxychloroquine, I'm better. No, that's not how it works. The reality is we are because we were bored. Because we're bored. We're loosening all these restrictions, and we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. But... you know, trust me, I am not, I don't want to say the I told you so's. I'll forego that. But I want to know what you're going to say to me in 2 months when half your church parish is sick, or half the staff in your beauty salon is sick, or half the people that were in the bar that one night when it kicked open and you say, in your face, libtards, when you were sitting and guzzling your Keystone Light. What are you going to say when that all of a sudden comes to fruition? When it's your mom is sick, and your grandma is sick, and your aunt and uncle are sick, and your neighbor is sick. What are you going to say at that point? Are you going to say, boy, we screwed up. We shouldn't have done this. Let's shut things back down again. Or are you going to call, you liberals, you're happy, aren't ya? Are you going to go off the deep end? You delusional freak balls. What's wrong with you people? On top of that, you want to hear something? This is the stuff, the reason why I'm glad we got Memorial Day off. I need a day. I'm going to go out and find some wilderness. I don't care if it's raining. I'm going to go find some wilderness. I'm going to sit in the woods and enjoy it. We have long-term care facilities that have been a hotspot for the disease. Joanna Shores is one of the largest multi-tiered senior homes in the Twin Cities. It's where Annie Glenn, the wife of astronaut John Glenn, spent her final days. Lynn Glenn, who lives in St. Paul, is Annie's daughter. In the middle of the night, I got a phone call that mom had a fever and she was coughing, Lynn Glenn said. On Monday, Annie Glenn lost her battle to COVID-19. She was one of 11 residents to die from the virus not long after her daughter discovered some employees caring for residents were sick themselves. Last Friday, National Guard medics tested 545 residents and staff members. None had any symptoms, but 5 residents and 23 workers all tested positive. Now, I want to point something out here. Management of that facility needs to be called into question. How in the world do you have 23 workers? Wow. Lynn Glenn, she appreciates the data. I really respect the transparency of the business. Justin Burkelli, the administrator for Joanna Shores, the campus administrator, said workers were surprised to know they tested positive. They had no symptoms at all. They had no idea they were potentially a carrier. After getting the results, Burkelli said they immediately sent infected workers home. How did it take this long to get them tested? Joanna Shores was among the first administrators to get a community-wide testing. It's part of the new state's new plan to stop COVID-19. Well, Annie Glenn's, John Glenn's wife just passed away. Annie Glenn just passed away just a few days ago. So how is it taking this long to get these tests in? We talked about this with Stein. I talked about this yesterday. It is remarkable to me that the Republicans have adopted the mentality of kill grandma and grandpa. The elderly must die so I can go to Taco John's. That they are somehow that is not resonating with the elderly people they're calling to be killed off. It is truly amazing to me that that is the case. I'm going to take a break. We'll do this a little early here. When I come back, we got Memorial Day on Monday. And I'm going to bring up something that I mentioned with Stein on Wednesday and convey it as I talk about some great veterans that we should be remembering here on Memorial Day coming up from World War One. We'll talk about that in just a moment. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Unbeatable appliance prices. Then Warner Stellion saves you an additional 5%. Exclusive savings on laundry pairs, dishwashers, French door refrigerators, and more kitchen suites than you can count. Buy appliances online, by phone, or in store. And Warner Stellion guarantees your price, plus saves you 5% more. Warner Stellion's trusted delivery specialists ensure your new appliances get delivered and installed right. Shop online, by phone, or in store, and save an extra 5% from the specialists at Warner Stellion.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
People liking the shirt on the live stream feed. It's Mr. Wives. Very cool shirt. And reminder, LGBTQ rights are human rights. Thank you very much. 952-946-6205. So it is Memorial Day. And this is a Memorial Day. I didn't realize we were going to be having near 100,000 people we were going to have to remember from the last 3 months. On this Memorial Day, we've lost 100,000 people. We're going to have lost 100,000 people. We are going to lose more people from coronavirus. Definitively, we're going to lose more people from coronavirus if we already haven't, and because the numbers are grossly underreported, we're going to lose more people to coronavirus than we lost in World War One. And on Wednesday's show, I talked with Stein a little bit about the fact that you go to any small town in America, and in every one of them, there's a memorial to the Great War. Because this was a very different thing. I mean, there was a Spanish-American War, but a large-scale conflict where we sent troops overseas had not happened. And 100 years ago, that was really kind of where the Spanish-American War was kind of the America's coming out party. This was what solidified us as a world leader across the globe. And ironically, as we have a president who is undoing most of the leadership of the last 100 years for individual and personal gain and the gain of the Russians, the reality is at one point we became a country that was remembered on a much larger scale because of the bravery of men and women. Now, Memorial Day is not just – obviously, it's a great time to remember the people, the soldiers we've lost. But it's also a great time to remember everyone who we've lost. And Memorial Day is a very good time for that. But, of course, as a veteran myself, U.S. Army, I like to remember some of the veterans from World War One. Here are some buttes here. Sergeant Alvin York, once described as World War One's greatest civilian soldier. He had began the conflict as a conscientious objector, a deeply devout man from the small mountain town of Pall Mall, Tennessee. York initially resisted serving on the grounds that violence was against his religion. His request was denied, however, and on May 18th, he arrived in France along with the 82nd Division of the U.S. Army. York would make his name on October 18th, 1918, as an famous incident during the an offensive. He and around 17 other Americans had just captured troops from a German regiment when they found themselves under heavy fire from enemy machine guns. Nine of the Americans were quickly wounded or killed, but York, a crack shot in his days as a turkey hunter, escaped unscathed, began picking off the German gunners with his rifle. When six of the enemy tried to charge York with bayonets, he drew his .45 and a pistol and he shot them all. He all soon enforced the remaining Germans to surrender and later claimed even more prisoners on his way back to the American lines. All told, York and his men captured 132 enemy soldiers, and he has single-handedly killed around 20 German troops. For his efforts, he was awarded the Medal of Honor, a Distinguished Service Cross, and several other citations for bravery. Frank Luke, renegade pilot. Frank Luke, renegade pilot? Wait a minute. It was America's greatest balloon buster. The nickname assigned to the brash aviators who attacked German observation balloons used for sight artillery. Luke joined the 27th Aero Squadron in France on July 1918, wasted little time in aggravating his fellow pilots with his cocky attitude and reckless flying style. Maverick! Nevertheless, the Arizona-born aviator proved an expert at downing the balloons, dangerous targets that are often guarded by anti-aircraft guns, cannons, and as well as the enemy fighters. He scored his first kill on September 12th, and September 28th, he claimed 15 victories, including one day in which he shot down two balloons and three enemy planes. That's pretty good. That's something to remember. I'll give him that on that. Despite his obvious skill, the headstrong Luke often fell out in military regulations and disobeyed orders. Maverick! His commanding officer tried to ground him on September 29th, but Luke ignored the command and took off on a daring solo balloon-busting mission. He proceeded to destroy three balloons in quick succession and was seriously wounded by a machine gun fire, forced to ditch his plane near a creek. After climbing from the wreckage, Luke drew his pistol and may have exchanged a few shots with German troops before succumbing to his injuries. By then, the 21-year-old had claimed a remarkable 18 aerial victories in the span of only 18 days. Wow. How about this one? Henry Johnson. Henry Johnson was the most famous member of the Harlem Hellfighters. I got to get a T-shirt on that one. The all-black National Guard unit that was among the first American forces to arrive in Europe during World War I. Johnson and his fellow African-American soldiers spent their early days in the war performing unskilled manual labor before being sent to reinforce the ranks of the French Army. On May 14th, 1918, Johnson and another hellfighter named Needham Roberts were serving sentry duty in the Argonne Forest. Just after 2 a.m., the duo was attacked by a detachment of some 20 German troops. Both men had been wounded. Let's see here. Both men had been wounded, Roberts so severely he was unable to stand or shoot, but Johnson held fast and fought back with hand grenades and his rifle. Despite being shot several times, he returned fire until his weapon jammed and then used it as a club and fought hand-to-hand until it broke into pieces. When Johnson saw that the Germans were trying to take Robert prisoner, he drew one of his remaining weapon, a bolo knife, slashed and stabbed several men until the raiding party finally fell back. When the dust cleared, Johnson inflicted at least a dozen casualties on the Germans, suffered 21 gun wounds from gunfire and bayonets himself. Both he and Roberts were later given the Croix de Guerre, one of France's highest military honors, but Johnson's heroic stand went unrewarded in the United States until 1996 when he was posthumously awarded the Purple Heart. You just gave that guy a Purple Heart, dear Lord. My God, get him the highest. All these guys, I mean... Yeah, and by the way, just reminders to people, when people's like, well, we solved those racial issues, didn't we? That was 1996. I'll give you one more here. Charles Whitsley, W-H-I-T-T-L-E-S-E-Y, Charles Whitsley, okay? An attorney by trade, Major Charles Whitsley later made his name as an uncompromising commander in the so-called Lost Battalion, an American unit that became stuck behind German lines. October 2nd, 1918, a bookish and bed-spectacled Whitsley... led his men into hostile territory as part of a coordinated offensive in the Aragon Forest. But due to poor communications, his unit crossed the rough terrain too swiftly and was soon cut off by enveloped German forces. Wittesley, nearly 600-strong force, dug in, established a makeshift defense line despite having low on food, water, and ammunition. They spent the next 5 days dodging sniper fire, repelling wave after wave of German attacks. Nicely done. At one point, their own troops began accidentally shelling the position. Ouch. But Wittesley launched a carrier pigeon that managed to stop the barrage of friendly fire. That's called lucky right there. The Americans were later offered a chance to surrender, but Wittesley held his ground and fought out against increasingly grim odds. Allied reinforcements finally arrived, forced the enemy to retreat October 8th. By then, only 194 of the Americans were still standing, among them Wittesley, who was later awarded the Medal of Honor for his extreme bravery and coolness under fire. Did the pigeon get anything? The pigeon sure is something. Nice job, carrier pigeon. Did you train the carrier pigeon in the how did you have it on you? Is this like, oh, look what I've got in my pocket? You know, it's not a cell phone. It's a carrier pigeon. Remember the service of the people who were brave, all of them, even the ones we should have honored a long, long time ago. Have a wonderful Memorial Day. We have a best of show for you on Monday. We are back with a live show on Tuesday. I'm dancing my way into this weekend with one of the better songs. This is from a Disney film, Owl City. When Will I See You Again, from the Wreck-It Ralph soundtrack. It's just a happy little beat. So have fun. We'll be back on Tuesday. Till then, see ya. Switch on the sky and the stars glow for